as I thought and prayed about what book in the Bible talks about primarily the basics. And I was led to the Gospel of John. And I think that the Gospel of John is just about as basic as one can get, because it covered just about all of the areas that I could think of that needed to be touched upon in this congregation. And so we're going to start a series, and indeed we did start last Lord's Day. We considered perhaps the most basic element of John, and that is its purpose, and we cited verse 16, "Of his fullness we have all received in grace for grace." The purpose of the Apostle John, the purpose in writing this gospel and in describing Christ in this way, is to enable us to have fullness of life, a full life. But there is another basic, and perhaps it is even a prior basic to what we said last week. That's why we covered the same text today. And that basic is this: who was or is Jesus Christ? The answer to that question is the most important answer that you and I will ever give to any question that we're asked. Who was Jesus Christ? So what we want to do this morning is to consider Jesus Christ in three relationships. We're going to consider him in relationship to God. We're going to consider him in relationship to earth and in relationship to us. And as we do, we'll find out some insights about who Jesus Christ was, but we'll also find some application in our own personal lives. First, let's consider Jesus in his relationship to God. That is expressed in John chapter 1, verse 1. We read here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Now, I hope that it is obvious to you that when John uses the word Word, he is talking about Jesus Christ. And what he says is, the Word was with God in the beginning. He means that Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning. That means in the beginning, before anything was created, before there was ever a person, there was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ existed before he was Jesus Christ. Now, that is not reincarnationism. The Bible knows nothing, I say nothing, of the idea of reincarnation, that when your spirit dies, you come back into another person and you live another life. The Bible knows nothing. It is sheer nonsense, and it is not the Bible doctrine of the hereafter. But the Bible does teach that the Lord Jesus existed before he became Jesus Christ. How did he exist? He didn't exist as the person, the man, Jesus. He existed, listen to this, as the second person of the Trinity. The Trinity is made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ existed as the Son before he ever became Jesus, born of a woman. Now, John 8:58, in fact, bears that out. Chapter 8, verse 58, says this. Jesus said to them, he's talking to the Jewish leaders at the time, they had asked him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He said, "I am." Do you know what he's saying when he said, "I am"? You remember when Moses appeared, when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush? And Moses told God, "I can't go down to Egypt and help your people. I'm not qualified." And finally, God convinced him, and Moses said, "Well, who shall I say has sent me?" And then God said, "Yahweh." But you know what Yahweh means? I am.
tell them, Moses, I am, the I am has sent you. And so Jesus, in John chapter 8, verse 58, when he says, before Abraham was, I am, he is saying, I am Jehovah God. And that leads us to the second thing about Christ's relationship to God. And that also is in verse 1. And he says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ was with God. That is, in technical terms, called the pre-existence of Christ. He existed before. But also John says that the Word was God. That is to say, Jesus Christ was 100% divine. He said, I am Jehovah. So that he is equal with and he is not to be separated from in his essential nature from God himself. He is 100% God. Paul says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, Jesus Christ was not a part of God. He was not 33 1/3% God. Or a half God. He wasn't some strange creature that was half man and half God. This man, Jesus Christ, was 100% God. C.S. Lewis, perhaps in the most famous quote, and I have quoted it before, but it's worth quoting again, said in his book, Mere Christianity, this, quote, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his knees and call him Lord and God. But let us not come away with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Now there are some remarkable applications we can make when we consider that Jesus Christ was God. And the first application is simply this. Because Christ is God, he is able to save you. Hebrews 7 says he is able to save them to the uttermost who come unto God through him. Why can Jesus Christ save you? If he were a man, he couldn't save you. If he were an angel, he couldn't save you. If he were a prophet, he couldn't save you. But God can save you. And that is the meaning of the cross. Jesus Christ was God, and he is able to forgive sin if you come to him in faith, and he will cleanse you. He is able to forgive. But also, he is able to give you something else, and that is, he's able to give you life. We pointed out last week in connection with this chapter in verse 16, of his fullness we have all received. His fullness, and then in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, because Jesus Christ was life, he is able to give you and me real life. But there's a third application. He can save us, he can give us full life, and he can also comfort us and strengthen us. Because he's God, it's good to have somebody to cry on their shoulder or to cry on your shoulder and to say, I understand. But what person can not only say, I understand, but I will also help you and I control it and I'm able to change this situation for you. There was a book that appeared several years ago that asked the question, do bad things happen to good people? And obviously they do. Paul said in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Now, how can we say that all things work together for good if there isn't a God that we serve and that we love and who loves us who is not controlling everything? Those are applications. What I'm saying is that Jesus' relationship to the Father was twofold. Was one, that He was pre-existent, that He existed before He became Jesus. And secondly, that Jesus Christ is 100% God. Now understand that. Because if you have any conception of Jesus Christ other than that, dear friends, it is not, I say it is not, the biblical idea or doctrine of Jesus Christ. He is God. He's not a good moral teacher, merely. He's not a prophet, merely. He's not just one more religion in all the lines of religion. This is God in the flesh. But also consider Christ's relationship to the earth. You know what I mean? I mean to all of creation. We are becoming more and more earth conscious in our day and time. Perhaps you've seen the television previews for the fall. There's a new program coming out called Earth Force that is supposed to be a group of people who are protecting the earth. And we all know about, I think the name of it is Green Alert. Consider the reaction, the horror that we all felt when Exxon dumped its oil in Alaska and oil continues to ride up on our beaches. We're just becoming more and more conscious of the earth because there is what is called an ecology or an ecological balance to the earth. We keep messing it up. Australians wanted to get rid of some kind of problem, and so they introduced the jackrabbit, and now they've got more jackrabbits than they can handle in Australia. We do the same thing in our country. We brought in kudzu. I think kudzu came from Africa. I'm not sure. But anyway, we brought in kudzu to control the problem of grass along the side of the road, and it controlled it all right and everything else. They say that the men who have to plant kudzu go out into the middle of a field, plant it, and then run like heck to get away before it catches up with them. I've discovered recently, though, that you can now prepare kudzu and eat it, and that it has a source of some kind of good vitamin or whatever it is, but we need to do something with it for sure. What I'm talking about is Christ's relationship with the earth. Christ's relationship with all of creation. Jesus Christ is the agent, is the mediator, is the means by which everything in the world exists. Look at verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. There's not a lion. There isn't a tree. There's not a rock. There's not an angel, be he a created good angel or a fallen angel. There is nothing that is created that has not been brought into existence by the life-giving force of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Colossians says. Proverbs 8 says it. Jesus Christ is the source of all life, not just eternal life. He is that, but He is the source of natural life. The psalmist says, even the young lions look to Thee for their food. Whether the ants are crawling on the ground or the trees that are growing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some people, and I am one, who love to get outside in nature and just be there, whether it's sitting in a fishing boat, whether catching fish or not, or working out in the yard or growing things are just being out there, and some people will say, oh, I feel so much closer to God when I'm out in nature. Is it any wonder? Because God, Christ, it is by His life that life came into being. Now, there are people who take that to extreme, and they begin to say, well, God is nature, and nature is God. That is called pantheism. It is not the scriptural view. But what I am saying here is that because Christ is the author of the created order, then we Christians too, we don't have to leave it to liberals, or we don't have to leave it to Green Alert or other people to tell us that this is God's world. We have a song about it. This is my Father's world. Then ought we not to take care of what belongs to our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ? He's given us the charge to be stewards of that created order. This is my Father's world. God, in Genesis chapter 1, gave Adam a commandment. And it's called the cultural mandate. It says this: be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The cultural mandate. That is God's command for you and me to take care and to supervise this planet. God has commanded us to do it and to take care of it. Did you know that you're not the only person, if you're a Christian here this morning, you're not the only person who's going to be redeemed? Did you know that the world itself, that this planet is also going to be redeemed? Paul says in Romans 8 that the whole creation waiteth in travail for its redemption. When Jesus Christ comes, as Revelation 21 describes, at the end of Revelation, how the whole world will melt indeed with the heat, and yet, out of the dust, God will create out of this planet a new heaven and a new earth. So we also have responsibility along with our own salvation to take care of planet Earth. And then there is a third relationship, and that is the most important to us, Christ's relationship to us. This is expressed in verse 14. John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I said earlier that Jesus Christ was God, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But notice what John also says here, and the Word became flesh. That is, the second person of the Trinity became a human being. So that He was not only 100% God, but He was also 100% man. He was not 50% God and 50% man. He was 100% each. He is what we call the two in one. He is the two natures in the one person, the God nature, the human nature in the one person of Jesus Christ. And in that nature, He will always exist. When you and I get to heaven and we look up and we see God, we see Christ, it will be in His human form, which He will always possess from now and throughout all eternity. God, man, the Theoanthropos, the God, the second person of the Trinity, who became incarnate in the flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There are many applications that I could make regarding Jesus Christ becoming flesh. He became flesh in order to die for us, in order to go to Calvary and to pay the price of our sin. To live a perfect life for you, because you can never live a perfect life. Don't stop trying to be good and do right. But don't try to be saved by being good and doing right. Come to Jesus Christ because He came for you to live a life of perfection for you. I say there are many applications I can make. But this is the one that I want to make regarding Christ's relationship to us. Christ identifies with us in our humanity. Maybe that doesn't sound too profound, or maybe it has the ring of just theology. But the longer I live and the more I pastor and the more problems I listen to or across my desk or in a living room or in a hospital or in a funeral parlor, the more I call upon Christ, His suffering and His life, to try to find some parallel for a broken heart, for a tragedy that has happened, for a problem that someone is facing. I try to find in Christ's life and suffering a parallel where a person can see that Jesus Christ experienced the same thing. Now that to me is the most important thing, the most important application that I want to make this morning. And indeed, it is all important. I don't know about you, but I grow weary of my flesh, of my temptations, of my sins, of my own human nature, of my weaknesses. And yet, I think of Jesus Christ, and I know that He understands, and He identifies, and He sympathizes, and He knows every need that every one of us has here this morning. Before you speak it, and maybe some who do not even know that you have that need, Jesus Christ knows that need. And He understands. And He loves and He sympathizes. And so as I'm listening to this problem that someone is telling, I try to find something in the life and sufferings of Christ that go right along with that. And do you know, with all of my counseling experience and training and seminars and everything else, I find that most people take the strongest comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ suffered and understands and loves them and is willing to help them. More than any other comfort, that is what gives comfort. So maybe there's some of you this morning who are lonely. Maybe you're brokenhearted over some tragedy that's taken place. Or maybe you're disappointed because you didn't reach some final goal. Well, listen, look no further. Jesus Christ knows. And He understands. Maybe you're tempted by some trial. Maybe you have an emotional need, a spiritual need, a physical need, a material need. Well, friend, Jesus Christ knows exactly what your need is because He suffered in all points just as we do. The difference is He can help you.